All right, so check this out. My first encounter. The year was 1999. I had just given birth and had been home from the hospital for a few days. My family and I were in bed when my baby started crying. My husband got up to heat a bottle and then returned to bed, falling asleep again. At that moment, I saw my ex-fiancé, who had passed away 2 years earlier. He was screaming at me to get up, his words threatening that he would never speak to me again if I didn't wake up. It brought me to full alertness. I leapt up and began screaming for my husband to wake up too. The house was filled with smoke. The pan had melted onto the stove, and the bottle was completely melted as well. I grabbed the baby, I rushed out of the house and into the car. My husband opened all the windows in the house. We then headed straight to the ER, where both of us needed breathing treatments. Fortunately, the baby was perfectly fine. It was a terrifying experience, and one that I've never shared with anyone, except for my husband when he asked me why I had woken up. Blast to the past. In 2019, me and my now husband were enjoying a cold beer in our rented flat one night. We were daydreaming of the future and scrolling through Rightmove, looking at properties out of our price range, wondering what it would be like to live in and own one of these homes. This is something we often did, sending each other properties that both of us knew we wouldn't be able to afford. I would often make a comment of, "That's it, that's the one." And my husband would respond with, "Ah, yes, for that price I'll take two." Well, this night was like no other. We scoured the web for properties all across the UK, with no intention of actually perusing this dream due to our current financial circumstances. "You're gonna love this one," my husband said. "It's right up your alley. Cozy cottage, rural, log burner." "Say no more. Send it to me," I said. The moment I heard the words "cozy cottage," I was already in love. Ping. He sent across the link and I excitedly started scrolling through the listing. "Oh my God, that's the one," I said, but this time it was different. It really was the one. My heart started racing as I read deeper into the property specifics, and it was everything I've ever dreamed of. And my husband, well, he knew it too. Just one slight problem. The price. No way would we be able to afford this house, and even if we could save the money, the property would definitely sell before then. "We have to go see it, Leo." "We can't, darling. We can't afford to buy right now. And besides, it's 2 hours away. Would you even want to move that far?" I said, "Of course I would. For that house, I would move to the other side of the country. It's perfect." I was hooked, and I knew that I needed to at least view this property. A feeling that I've never had before. We had never considered actually viewing any of the previous properties that we had, quote, fallen in love with before. "Sorry, love. One day we will have our dream home," Leo said, "but I knew that I had to have this house." Well, the next morning, I got up for work and noticed my husband was already in his home office. "Early start?" I asked as I walk into his office. And I noticed the house listing open on his computer screen. "I can't stop thinking about that house," he said. "I'm going to call the estate agents today and maybe book a viewing, but don't get your hopes up. I just don't see how we can afford it. But there's no harm in looking, right?" I was like a kid in a toy shop. I was so excited to actually view a property, and the fact that it was my dream home, my hopes couldn't be any higher. Leo spoke with the estate agents and booked a viewing for the following Saturday. 5 days I had to wait to view the house. Every day I was certain that we would get a call saying the house had been sold or that they weren't taking any more viewings, but Saturday came around and it was finally time to make the 2-hour journey. The car ride felt like a lifetime. We spoke about our future, the house, and finances. We both knew we wouldn't be able to afford to do this, but we jumped in with rose-tinted glasses anyway. There it is. I pointed at the for sale sign propped up outside the cottage. It looked exactly like the photos. We were greeted at the door by the current owners, and they quickly showed us in. There's not many times in life where I find myself speechless, but this is one of those times. The cottage was surreal, and the location was perfect. I looked at my husband, and his face said it all. He too was in love with the house. The homeowners seemed very nice. They explained that they were in a hurry to sell and were sad to be leaving after only spending 1 year in the property. 1 year? I thought to myself, I would spend the rest of my life here. But little did I know what was to come. Back in the car, me and my husband were silent. We both knew it wouldn't be possible. We told ourselves not to get our hopes up before coming here, but now that we'd seen the house, we both knew that it really was the one. That night, we sat and went through all of our expenses, canceling all of our unnecessary subscriptions, desperately trying to find an inch of possibility to scrape together the deposit that we needed. But no matter how hard we tried, we would fall at least $10,000 short of what we needed. Disheartened and exhausted, we both agreed it wasn't possible and that we would just have to forget that we'd ever seen the house. We emailed the estate agents, thanked them for their time, and asked them to keep us in the loop on the sale of the cottage. The following day was as normal as our Sundays were. We met family, went shopping, and continued as if nothing happened. That was, of course, until Leo had an unexpected business call to take. "Really? You're going to answer that? It's a Sunday. Can't they wait till you're back in?" I asked. "I won't be long. I'm not sure who it is, but it could be urgent." He took himself off to answer the call. Roughly 5 minutes later, he walked back in the room, only it had looked like he'd seen a ghost. "What's wrong?" I shouted, hurrying over to him. "You're never gonna believe it. Someone has just offered me a job on the side. It's a cash in hand sort of thing." "That's great. Do you think you can do it? I know you're quite busy as it is." I asked the question, but I knew he would say yes. Leo's a workaholic. "You don't understand, Chloe. This isn't a small job. They've offered me $10,000 to do this for them." "Are you serious?" I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It was like someone above had sent an angel. All I could think of was the house. I accepted it straight away. I need to start working on it tonight, and they need it desperately. I said, "That's fantastic, love. $10,000 is exactly enough for the house deposit." He finished my sentence. We were both slightly weirded out by the coincidence, but we've always lived by the motto, "If it's meant to be, it will be." The following morning, we rang the estate agents first thing and placed our offer on the house. By the afternoon, we had been accepted and had already received all the legal documents to fill in. We were over the moon, and for the next 4 months, we worked relentlessly to save any extra pennies, both putting in overtime and my husband working side jobs and evenings and weekends to make sure that we had the best start in our new home. Move-in day came around, and the whole process was so smooth sailing. It was really meant to be, I thought. It took us some time to adjust to our new home, getting our bearings in a new town, coming to terms that we were homeowners and making sure every last ornament was placed perfectly. We both often joked that the house felt like it was drawing us in, almost like it had a personality. Maybe this was because the property was nearly 200 years old and it had a lot of character. But after a while, I did start to get a slight uneasy feeling. All of the coincidences and the fact that we were actually in the property did make me start to question how this was actually possible. Now, before I continue deeper into this story, I want to pause here to tell you that my husband is the biggest skeptic I've ever met. We couldn't be more opposite when it comes to the paranormal and supernatural. In some ways, this is a good thing because he would rationalize some of the things that I experienced, putting my mind at ease. But on the other hand, I would often find it frustrating when he wouldn't believe the things that I was explaining to him. Back to the story. We had now been living in the cottage for a few months. For the most part, we had settled in nicely. There was just a few things that had started out of the ordinary. Items would randomly disappear and reappear in a completely different place. Keys placed on the side in the kitchen would go missing for days and show up in the bedside cabinet. TV remotes would randomly appear on the kitchen side after we both had sworn that we hadn't moved them. I was starting to get very weirded out by these experiences, but my husband would simply put it down as just us being tired. As frustrating as it is, he was probably right, I thought. We were both working hard during the day and decorating at night, and we were probably just misplacing the items ourselves, right? It was a Friday night. We had both been up late watching a movie, and I think I drank one too many cups of tea. We went to bed, and as expected, I was up in the night needing to use the loo. The route to the bathroom from the master bedroom is as follows. Come out of the door, to the right was the staircase, turn left, the bathroom was immediately in front of you, and to the left again was a long, dark hallway that led to the spare bedroom. The spare bedroom door was always closed due to an open fireplace in there that caused a draft down the hall. As I approached the bathroom door, something told me to look down the hallway towards the spare bedroom. To my surprise, the door to the spare bedroom was open, and to my horror, I could make out a dark figure lurking in the corner. I froze in fear, petrified and unable to move. All I could do was watch on as right before my eyes, the house transformed back in time to the 1800s. Now there was an iron cot in the corner of the room where we had placed a wardrobe, and the fire was burning even though it was now out of use. I was so confused but still unable to move due to the pure adrenaline rushing through my body. I watched as the figure emerged out of the corner of the room and walked towards the cot. It was a woman dressed in a white Victorian-style dress. She was crying hysterically, leaning over the cot and looking down in what I could only make out to be a deceased child. My heart racing, I managed to take a step closer to the bathroom door. The floorboards underneath me creaked, and in that moment I felt these eyes burning into the side of my head. She saw me. I screamed and ran back into my bedroom and slammed the door shut. "What? What is it?" My husband jumped out of bed. I saw a woman in the spare room, but it wasn't the spare room, it was different. It was like I was in a different time zone, and I..." "You what?" he asked, still half asleep. Before I could even answer again, though, he was walking out of the bedroom door. "Wait!" I shouted as I ran after him. We both walked out into the hallway, and the door to the spare room was closed. "There's nothing there." He opened the door and looked around. The room was back to normal. "You were probably just sleepwalking or something. It's 3 a.m., Chloe. Let's go back to sleep." "I know what I saw," I said as I hurried back into bed. That night, I didn't sleep a wink. I kept thinking about the lady that I saw. Who was she? Why was she crying, and what happened to the baby? Questions I knew I'd probably never get the answers to. The next day, we both went about our day. Whenever I tried to mention the whole ordeal to my husband, he would just put it down to me being tired. Frustrated, I knew this time that this wasn't the case. I knew what I'd seen, and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. A whole year had passed since that night, and it's now 2020. COVID was on the rise, and lockdowns were on the way. The past year had been pretty uneventful in the house. The odd items were still being misplaced, and sometimes I would see things out of the corner of my eye, but nothing that couldn't be explained. Things like a breeze moving a curtain, or a shadow from car lights shining through the window. One thing is for sure, I hadn't seen that lady again. We were both now working from home, spending 24/7 in the cottage due to COVID, and we were both starting to get cabin fever when restrictions finally started to be lifted for the first time. The first thing we did was book a week away in North Wales. Wales had our heart. The open, endless countryside, the beaches and quaint cottages. We would always visit once or twice a year and always joked that one day we would live there. On our visit this time, though, we walked past an estate agent's in a small village and saw an advertisement for a small cottage, and for the first time, it was actually in our price range. "Hey, look at this, love." I pointed through the window at the advertisement. "Yes, it's lovely, but my gosh, that needs some work." He wasn't wrong. It was on the brink of being derelict. No heating, holes in the windows, and it was definitely a fixer-upper. "Fancy a project?" I joked. Before we could continue the conversations, there was an emergency news broadcast flashing up on our phones. The country was to go back into lockdown in the next 24 hours. We had to rush back to the holiday and get packed up for our belongings and head home. Back home, our spirits were pretty low. We were always sad when we had to leave Wales, but this was different. We were both mourning the country and wanted nothing more but to return. A few weeks had passed, and I guess out of curiosity, we began searching Rightmove for houses in North Wales. The derelict cottage was no longer for sale, but that was no surprise to me. It was priced perfectly for a builder or a DIYer to snap it up. We talked at length and decided to put our house up for sale. Maybe it was the lockdowns, maybe it was something else, but our perfect little cottage wasn't so perfect anymore. The inviting feeling that we had once felt had disappeared, and the house always felt cold. We spoke to a few estate agents and promptly decided who we would list the house with. Within a few days, there was now a for sale sign standing outside our home. And now, like I said, the energy had shifted. The house was different, but nothing could have prepared me for what was about to happen. The second that for sale sign went up, it was like we had awoken something evil in the house. That same night we listed the house, me and Leo had been celebrating with a cold beer. "Cheers to whatever the future brings," we said. We had a late one and headed off to bed. I remember feeling uneasy, almost as if being watched that night, but I just put it down to maybe having one too many. Tossing and turning, I struggled to sleep. My husband, on the other hand, was flat out snoring next to me. I was just about to nod off when something inside me told me to open my eyes. And there she was. The woman I had seen over a year ago in the spare room was now standing over our bed. The unmistakable outline of her Victorian dress and her mousy blonde hair in an out-of-date updo. She was staring at my husband sleeping. I closed my eyes shut, thinking that when I reopened them, she would disappear. I slowly opened my eyes, but she was still there, only now she had her hand out, slowly approaching my husband, heading straight for his throat. I screamed and watched as she contorted her head towards me, grinning as she was still leaning towards my husband. Hands stretched out, ready to strangle him. I dived under the covers once again, jolting my husband awake. "Are you okay?" he shouted. I was sobbing, inconsolable, and unable to find any words to explain to him what I had just saw and what just happened. "Chloe, what's wrong? You're starting to worry me now." He sat up, giving me a cuddle, and calmed me down before I could talk. "I saw her." "Saw who?" he asked, understandably confused. "I saw the woman, the same woman that I saw in the spare room last year, but this time she was trying to kill you." Usually, he would have some witty excuse as to what I had seen, but this time, I could tell he was dead serious. I was a wreck, and he had never seen me like this before, and maybe somewhere in the back of his mind, he could tell that I was just being truthful. I didn't sleep much for the next week, and Leo could see how the house was draining my energy. We pushed on to find a new property as quickly as possible, and accepted every house viewing for our cottage. It only took 1 week for us to find a buyer for our house, and they put an offer in just above our asking price, and we were ecstatic. We accepted their offer right away. As usual, that night we toasted to selling our house, and we were stood in the kitchen on FaceTime with family sharing the good news. "I just need the loo," I said, running upstairs. Leo was still in the kitchen on FaceTime with his mother. I was washing up in the bathroom when I had the uneasy feeling come over me. Once again, I felt watched. I felt as though someone or something was standing outside the bathroom door, waiting for me to come out. Shaking off the fear, I slowly opened the bathroom door. Standing in the doorway of our master bedroom was the woman, and she was partially blocking my only exit to the top of the staircase. I once again froze as she turned to look at me. Her face twisted and her eyes turned black. She began to hysterically scream in my face, and dark tears ran down her angry expression on her face. She started to move closer to me, and I ran like hell for the stairs, closing my eyes and screaming myself as I ran past her down the stairs and back into the kitchen. "She's here. She's at the top of the stairs," I cried as I ran to Leo. His mom was still on the other end of the phone. "It's okay. It's okay. You're safe now." Leo once again tried to comfort me, but as before, I was too distraught. We slept in the living room that night and went together on toilet shifts. Whatever, or whoever she was, I could tell that she was angry at us. Maybe it was because we were selling the house. I don't know. But something in that house had changed. Over the next few months, we were dealing with solicitors and estate agents on a weekly basis. Nothing about this house was smooth sailing, and we still couldn't find a house to move into ourselves. Our spirits started to dampen when we lost our first buyer and had to relist the house for sale. We had decided that if we don't sell again in a fortnight, and if we haven't found a house ourselves, then we would have to take the house off the market. One evening, we were scrolling through the internet for houses, as always, and I spotted the house that had started all of this. The derelict cottage in North Wales had been relisted, but this time for even cheaper than before. I showed my husband and we agreed to book a viewing. The following weekend, we drove the 3.5 hours to Wales to see the property. We had never been to this area before. We knew nothing about it, and for all we know, it could have been cheap just because of the area. Nevertheless, we still went. And upon arrival, we noticed just how rural this house was. There were no neighbors, no main roads, no streetlights. just this tiny cottage standing amongst the fields and fields of farmland. Area can't be that bad if there's no one here, Leo joked. What a view, though. I pointed towards the end of the garden, and that view was like something out of a painting. It was in that moment that I knew that it didn't matter what the house looked like on the inside, that view was worth millions to me. We looked around the property and quickly realized it needed a lot more work than we were capable of. But for some crazy reason, we both loved the house. We thanked the estate agent for showing us around and asked if there had been much interest. They said, yes, we have 5 more viewings today and lots more over the weekend. We hurried into the car and knew if we wanted it that we would have to move fast. I don't know what it is about that house, but I feel safe in there, I said to Leo as I was buckling my seatbelt up. Yeah, I know what you mean. What do you think about all the work it needs, though? He asked. It's a lot of work, but man, that view is amazing. It's definitely worth it just for that. We drove 1 mile up the road, pulled over, and rang the estate agents immediately. Unbeknownst to me, my husband decided to put in a lowball offer, explaining to the estate agents that the property needs a lot of TLC and it wouldn't be possible at the price listed. I thought he was crazy as the sellers had already listed the property at $40,000 less than they had the first time around. We waited eagerly for a call back from the estate agent, worried that the sellers would be offended by our offer and wouldn't want to negotiate with us. To my surprise, though, they accepted. Not only did they accept our offer, but they canceled all the viewings that were booked to take place for that afternoon, too. We raced home so excitedly, but also a little shocked at what we had just done. We weren't DIY professionals, and this was a big move, even further away from our friends and families. Upon arriving home, we received a phone call from our estate agents. We received an offer on our house, once again above asking price. This time, it was a first-time buyer who wanted to move quickly, and as the house we had just purchased was empty, the chain was short. We accepted straight away and began to prepare for the paperwork. A few months passed and we were starting to pack the house up one evening when the doorbell rang. It was my neighbor. We hadn't spoken too much before, but she had been cleaning out our loft and came across an old journal. She explained that the journal was written by a lady who once lived in my house many years before and thought that I would like to read through it. I thanked her and took her up on her offer. That night after dinner, I sat at the dining room table and began to flick through the journal. I turned a few pages before suddenly being stopped in my tracks. Right there, in front of me, was a portrait of the woman that I had been seeing in our house. Underneath the painting, it read, Jane Smith. I continued over to the next page. June 16th, 1856. Today, I laid my sweet child to rest. And I just couldn't read anymore. Leo, get in here. I shouted at him through the living room doors. My husband, too, couldn't believe his eyes. Everything I had told him about this woman was now written in this diary that had been handed to me by our neighbor. I spent the rest of the night delving deeper into her story to find out that she married a noble man and went on to be what some might say famous in the Victorian era. Because of this, she was pretty easy to find on Google, and a few universities in the area had done some studies on her life. I spent hours researching this woman, and I came across something quite eerie. Minus the fame, her and I hadn't lived too much of a dissimilar life. We had the same family setup, both experienced hard times and had lived in similar areas. Obviously, we also lived in the same house, and all of these, though, were just coincidences, I thought. Until I saw a study paper online. It read that after living at our current house, she too moved to North Wales with her husband. But not only did she move to North Wales, she moved to the exact same town that we were buying our new home in. I was officially creeped out. Was this woman following me? Or was I following her? Or was I her in a past life and I'm now reliving this life in a different timeline? Were we related, or is this all just a big coincidence? A million questions flooded through my mind, and in a panic state, I slammed the diary shut and promptly took it back to the neighbor, never wanting to look at it again. After this, the house sale went pretty smoothly. I never saw the woman again, and we moved into the derelict cottage in North Wales. We were busy renovating the new house, and we didn't know much about the history of the house and suspected it to be around 300 years old. I did some digging and found out that the house was used in the World Wars as a safe house to house children from Liverpool. And that is exactly what this house is, a safe house. We've now lived here for 3 years and felt nothing but safe. We've transformed this house into a home, and even though no neighbors and we're in the middle of nowhere, it can seem a bit creepy at times. The second our doors are locked, we feel so safe and protected by this home. That was until about a fortnight ago. Me and my husband went for a short walk to a cemetery down the road from here. Admiring the old headstones, we were reading out the names of the people who laid to rest there. And then we saw it. Jane Smith died 1868, followed by the name of our current house. Remembering the ghost my roommates and I lived with years ago. After my freshman year of college, my randomly assigned roommate turned best friend, and another girl on our floor who we became very close with in the dorms, all decided to rent a house together the following year. The other girl, her stepdad flipped houses and had recently renovated this place that was two blocks from campus. It was a three bed that cost us about $300 or maybe $400 a month each. It was really affordable for a bunch of 19-year-olds. The house itself was gorgeous, with a sunroom, a basement with a washer and dryer, two beds on the main floor with a bathroom, and basically an upstairs suite with a huge master and a walk-in closet, and a private bath. The other girl took that whole floor to herself since it was her dad's place and didn't pay rent because her family thought she was too busy with cheerleading and her sorority. That's a whole separate conversation leading up to why my best friend and I moved out. But the important thing is, my friend and I had the two main level rooms just off the living room with the bathroom between us. I don't even remember when the paranormal experiences started. I remember by October. We moved in August, by the way. In October, it was enough that our dumbasses did a seance and had already named our ghost Claire. With all the windows closed, we asked her a bunch of questions and she moved the candle different directions for yes and for no. Things were really bad for my friend and mildly annoying for me. This all happened on the main level and the third girl never experienced anything. My friend would experience sleep paralysis pretty frequently and wake up to a woman sitting on top of her or see her standing in the corner near her closet. The sink in the bathroom between our rooms would turn off and on all night. For me, she would open my door and get in bed with me. The funny thing is, at first, I didn't even realize it was the ghost doing that. The third roommate had a cat, and I assumed the cat was in bed pretty often. After a while, when I would feel the weight pushing down in the bed, I would keep turning around and no one was there. I'd turn my back and a second later, the weight would get closer to me. turn around, and nothing. I worked 12-hour shifts on Saturdays, and I would be so exhausted I just started to let it happen. It was so frequent, it wasn't even worth the fight to get up and close my door or to roll over and check the bed. I only saw her once. I was home alone and deep cleaning my room. The light was on in the living room, and my room created some sort of triangle of darkness in that short hallway. I was pulling the vacuum out of my room when, out of the corner of my eye, a woman with dark hair was standing behind me. She was so real. Both my roommates had dark hair too. She was so real that I jumped and said, "Oh my God, you scared me." As I was turning around, and when I finished turning though, no one was there. That was the first time Claire actually spooked me. My friend and I moved out a few months later due to a lot of issues with the third roommate. In the years following, whenever the experience gets brought up, my friend is near tears just talking about the terror that Claire put her through at night. Whereas I joke often about how I had a ghost girlfriend cuddling with me at night. I don't know why she was so nice to me. In some ways, I feel bad that she revealed herself to me and I was scared of her. I don't know, she seemed harmless, just active. Then again, she was so awful to my friend, and that's also unexplainable. I think the funniest part of this story, though, is when constantly living with an active entity, you do eventually get used to whatever they're doing. Between nursing school for my friend and classes plus 30-hour weeks of work at a standing job, at some point, I need to sleep, no matter who's in my bed.